Good morning. Grateful to have this time to bring the word to you. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're enjoying the weather. Should be out of your spring classes by now, and so I hope you're enjoying the summer, whatever that looks like in this interesting time. I hope to see many of you on Sunday, back in our services as we begin to meet on campus again on Sunday. And make sure if you're coming, you register so that you will have a spot when you come. We are going to continue our study this morning in the fruit of the Spirit. We're coming to an end here shortly. We have three fruits that I want to look at over the next few weeks. I hope this has been helpful for you. I hope that this has been profitable and beneficial to your soul as you are reminded of what you are to look like as a Christian, what you are to look like as one who has been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ and indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And now that Spirit is producing in you these fruits. And I hope you've also seen a decline of the fruits that are listed of an unbeliever there in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. I hope that that sin is declining in your life. All of that is a gift from God. All of that is according to His grace. And so this morning, I just want to continue on looking at this next fruit, and that is faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. In the New Testament, this word is the word pistis, and it's translated many different ways. It's translated faithfulness, reliability, fidelity. It's translated commitment. It's translated trustworthiness. And this idea of faithfulness is the state of someone, of being someone in whom confidence can be placed. The state of being someone in whom confidence can be placed. This is being considered trustworthy to keep your promises. We are very familiar with the idea of faithfulness. And we are probably very familiar with it, one, because it's pretty self-explanatory. And it's not difficult to grasp. But another reason why we understand faithfulness is because we see the antidote, there are the antithesis of faithfulness in our culture constantly. We constantly see those who act unfaithfully. Our culture is submerged in actions of unfaithfulness. Marriage is under attack primarily because of infidelity or unfaithfulness to one's spouse. People are no longer faithful in their jobs to be considered faithful and to do a good job, but they're looking to manipulate something, or they're looking to deceive, to get ahead, to climb the ladder in a way that might be easier or might take less effort. Our culture is not a picture of faithfulness. There's certainly not a commitment to faithfulness, fidelity, or trustworthiness in the media. That is all but gone at this point. But when we look at the Scriptures, we see faithfulness. We see those who are committed. We see a beautiful picture in guys such as Abraham. God called him out of his idolatry. And Abraham, or Abram at that time, was faithful to follow. God said, leave your town, take your family and go to the place that I'm going to show you. And Abraham followed faithfully. Or guys like Noah. Can you imagine that scenario? These people living in this culture of complete debauchery. You know, God said that He destroyed the earth because every man did what was right in his own eyes. And in the middle of that culture, a man whom God called, named Noah, raised up and began to build this enormous boat. People certainly mocked Noah. This boat took a very long time to build. And then Noah filled it with two of every kind of animal that walked on the earth. And you wonder how that must have looked. As people see these animals marching in two by two, it's hard to picture it happening in any other way. It's comical in some sense. And people looking at this and saying, it's 100 degrees out here, Noah, and you're building this boat on dry land. And by the way, Noah, this boat is huge. And then seeing animals, all different types of animals, two by two coming into the boat. And Noah remained faithful. And he took his family members, his sons and their wives and his wife, and they got on the boat and God shut the door, and then God unleashed His wrath upon this planet through a worldwide flood. And Noah, in his faithfulness, was saved and his family was saved. And God was able to use them to repopulate the planet. Noah was faithful, even in the midst of, no doubt, mockery in his culture. Guys like Job. You read the book of Job and you think at times, Job, why aren't you throwing the towel? Why are you remaining faithful? I mean, we criticize Job's wife, and rightly so. She was not a wife that you should desire, men. But we also, in some sense, sympathize with the words that she spoke to Job. Job, curse God and die. Why do you continue to allow this to happen to you? Just end it. Ask God to take your life. We can sympathize with that a little bit as we read what happened to Job, all the difficulties that he endured, all the tragedies that he had to face, and then the personal assault upon his own body that had to have been absolutely miserable. But Job remained faithful, not only with his wife, but with his three friends, who, if we have friends like that, who needs enemies, right? Who continually came after Job and said, Job, you must be living in sin if this is what's happening to you. And Job remained faithful. He was faithful to persevere through all of the turmoil that Satan brought directly upon him. Daniel was faithful to pray. The edict went out that the man who prays to anybody besides the king was to die, was to be thrown into the lion's den. And this king was tricked into this edict, and Daniel wasn't fazed at all. Three times a day, he'd face Jerusalem and he would pray. And we get some of his prayers recorded in the book of Daniel. And this guy knew how to pray. And he was faithful to continue, even though it eventually did cost him getting thrown into the lion's den. And God miraculously saved him. And it turned out okay. But he was willing to count the cost and said, I'm not going to cave. I'm going to be faithful to do what God has called me to do. Paul was faithful to preach time and time again after his conversion. Paul continued to preach the gospel. And at times he was stoned. He was dragged outside of a city and left for dead. And what did he do? He got back up, went back in the city and began to preach. You look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and Paul goes through this long list of things that he endured to continually and faithfully preach the word which he was called to do. He was faithful to the calling that he had received. He walked worthy of that calling as he calls us to in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. He was faithful. Friends, we need people who are like this. Why were they like this? Why were they faithful? Well, it was because God had changed their lives. God had saved them. God had brought them to Himself. He had given them salvation. They were empowered to be faithful by God Himself. And so when we think of faithfulness, when we think of this fruit, ultimately we have to think that the perfect example of faithfulness is the triune God Himself. We are faithful because the faithful God has saved us and He has indwelled us with His Spirit who is faithful and who enables us to then be faithful, who brings us along in that faithfulness as He sanctifies us. There's a number of ways God is declared faithful in the Scriptures. First way is that God is faithful to His promises. God is faithful to His promises. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, it says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps His covenant and His steadfast love to a thousandth generation with those who love Him and keep His commandments." He's faithful to His covenant. He's faithful to the promises that He made to the nation of Israel. Those promises that God made to Abram back in the first part of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 15, and chapter 17, when God made those promises to Abram. And out of Abram came this covenant people whom God set His love upon, who He was intending to use as those who would be immersed in His special love and that the world would look in upon and then see the glory of God reflected from this people. And through their disobedience, God set them aside for a season. But God is not finished with the nation of Israel. These covenant promises, the fact that God is keeping His covenant and His steadfast love to a thousandth generation. He is going to fulfill all of these promises perfectly, finally, in the millennial reign of Christ. God is faithful to His promises. Another promise that He has made is in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, a verse that you know well, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." As Christians, because God is faithful, there's always a way out of temptation. Do you realize that? Sometimes we feel the pressure of temptation. We just feel like we're so overwhelmed by it, we can't do anything but give in. But God promised in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that He is faithful and He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with that temptation will also provide a way of escape. Every time that you and I are tempted by our flesh, by the world, by Satan and his demonic realm, every time, friends, there's a way of escape. Every time we encounter that temptation, we must recall to our minds the fact that God is faithful, and that because of that faithfulness and because He has indwelled you with His Spirit, you are empowered to overcome that temptation that you are encountering at that time. Unfortunately, we do not do this all the time. But there should be a growing pattern in your life that you are, more so than you used to be, finding that particular way of escape for that temptation that is trying to deceive you and cause you to stumble, and cause you to sin. Hopefully you are seeking that way of escape more often. Hopefully you're running to your faithful Father more often. Hopefully you are seeing victory more often. And the reason that that is possible is because God is faithful. He is trustworthy. He is reliable. Faithfulness is a part of His character. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, we are exhorted by the writer of Hebrews. He says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." Friends, you and I can continue to hold fast regardless of what's happening in this life, regardless of the difficulties we may encounter, regardless of the persecution we may face. We can continue to hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? Because He who promised is faithful. God is faithful. God is also faithful to His Word. In Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah chapter 40, a familiar verse to you, verse 8, says, "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of our God stands forever." Everything that is contained in this book that you have a copy of, that you have multiple copies of, this book that we preach from every single week in multiple venues across this campus, everything that is contained is true and it will stand forever. Why? Because God is faithful to His Word. What He has spoken in this text will come to pass, is accurate, is perfect. God is faithful to His Word. Just a few chapters over in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. Pick up in verse 10. "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to sower and bread to the eater, so will be my word which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." The Word of God will not return void. As it is declared, as it is preached accurately and rightly, it will accomplish its purposes. Its purposes to bring people to salvation and to sanctify the elect, and its purposes to judge those who reject it. God's Word is true and it will endure forever because God is faithful to it. God is also faithful to Himself. He's faithful to Himself. He is faithful in His character. He doesn't go back on His Word. He doesn't change. He is consistent. He is faithful. Numbers 23, verse 19. It says, "God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said, and will He not do it? Has He spoken, and He will not make it good?" God doesn't change His mind, friends. What you read concerning who God is in Himself, in His character, is who He is. And you can depend upon that. You can depend on that. You can take refuge in that. You can trust that completely and totally with your life. When the Scripture tells us that He is a loving God and that He is a saving God in Isaiah chapter 45, and that He declares His salvation to the world to come to Him. And then in Romans it tells us that all who come to Him will not be disappointed. All who come to Him will not be cast out. Friends, we can trust that. We can trust in the faithful character of our God because He is faithful to Himself. The New Testament text that reiterates that to us is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. It says, if we are faithless, He remains faithful. Why? For He cannot deny Himself. God's faithfulness is innate to Him. God is faithful. God is faithfulness. He is faithful to accomplish the good of His people. One example of that is in Psalms. And you know, we think about God accomplishing the good of His people. We think about all the good things that He has given to us and those things. But in Psalm 119, verse 75, it says, I know, O Lord, that Your judgments are righteous and that in faithfulness You have afflicted me. God works out for the good of His people, they're good. God works out good for His people. And often that good that is accomplished in our lives to conform us, as we know in Romans 8, the ultimate good is to be conformed to the image of Christ. And ultimately that good is worked out of us, worked out in us often through affliction. The psalmist concedes that in faithfulness You have afflicted me. God uses the difficulties of this life and brings affliction into our lives for the purpose of conforming us more to the image of Jesus Christ, for the purpose of causing us to become more dependent upon Him, to throw ourselves more at His feet, to trust Him more, to rely on Him more, to grow in our love for Him. In faithfulness, He does that. Friends, every time we encounter difficulty in this life, whether it's trials and tribulations, whether it's persecution, whatever it may be, sickness, illness, whatever it may be, whenever we encounter those things, we have to understand that for the believer, the affliction that is upon us is always for our good. And that's because God is faithful to work out that good in us and accomplish His purposes. Lamentations chapter 3 is a classic example of God's faithfulness to His people. You're well aware of this text. I've preached this text before in verses 20 through 24. But you know that the first half of Lamentations is like almost like a bitter complaint by the prophet Jeremiah, who was known as the weeping prophet. And more than likely he was writing this lament overlooking the city of Jerusalem that had just been destroyed and his people had just been taken captive. And so he was writing this lament, and it's almost as if he's complaining, gets to the pinnacle of that complaint in chapter 3, and then comes to this point in verse 20. He says, surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. What does he recall to his mind? The Lord's aspects of steadfast love, his manifestations of steadfast love, his loving kindnesses, as it is translated, indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, the prophet proclaims. And he says, the Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I have hope in him. That even in the midst of that dire circumstance that Israel, the city of Jerusalem was overtaken because of their sin, because of their idolatry, the prophet still proclaims that God is faithful and that his mercies for his people, his loving kindnesses, his manifestations of his covenant loyal love to his people are new every morning. And he's able to cry out, great is your faithfulness. God is faithful to his people. Christ is faithful. God the Father is faithful. Christ is faithful to carry out the will of the Father. We know that from Philippians chapter 2 as he humbled himself, made himself of no reputation, took on the form of a man, became a man, and was born a slave and eventually died a criminal's death upon a cross. And that was all, the text tells us, in humble submission to his Father. We see the picture of that even in the Garden of Gethsemane as Christ is praying before he is arrested and then taken to trial and eventually crucified. He says, Father, not my will, but your will. A complete and total submission to the Father. He was faithful to carry out the will of the Father even though he was going to taste death on behalf of all those who believe. He was going to bear the sin in his body, 1 Peter tells us that he was going to bear that sin in his body for all of those who would believe. But yet he was faithful to carry out the will of his Father. We know from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 through 18, that Christ is a merciful and faithful high priest. He's a merciful and faithful high priest. And then in chapter 4, it tells us that we can then, because he is this high priest who sympathized with our weaknesses, that we can then come boldly before the throne of grace and find help and mercy in our time of need. He is faithful to be that high priest. This moment, this very moment, you can go to God through your high priest, Jesus Christ, and bear your burdens to God. If you are struggling in this moment with whatever, you know, throughout this time, maybe you've struggled with loneliness. Maybe you've struggled with the question, why? Maybe you've struggled with frustration and pent-up anger. Maybe you've struggled with lust. Whatever it is, friend, right now, you can bow before the throne of God, and you can go faithfully to that throne through Jesus Christ, who is your faithful and merciful high priest, and you can find help in your time of need. I read that verse, and I think about that verse, and my mind always seems to go to the book of Esther. And you remember Mordecai came and explained the plot to Esther that Haman was going to kill the people of Israel. And he says, Esther, for such a time as this, you got to go and you got to talk to the king. And she says, well, you know, if he doesn't raise his scepter, I die. And he raised his scepter and she lived and people were saved by God's providence. But friends, we don't ever have to worry about God not raising his scepter to us, because we have a merciful and faithful high priest who is there pleading on our behalf. God, I know, you can picture Jesus saying, Father, I know this child of yours is struggling with this sin, but he's mine. I paid for that sin on the cross. I bore in my body, in my flesh, that sin that he's struggling with. I paid the price for that, Father. You turned your face away from me because I bore that sin, Father. He belongs to you, Father. Can you picture that, friends? That is what your merciful and faithful high priest is doing as your advocate on your behalf every single moment of every single day. And he's faithful. You're never going to be lost. You're never going to be kicked out of the kingdom of God, because God is faithful and his high priest is faithfully interceding for you on your behalf. Christ will also be faithful to return. He will be faithful to return. We come back to this so often, and we should. I mean, you should be daily thinking about the fact that Christ could return at any moment, and because he is faithful, that it's going to happen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will also bring it to pass. The verse right before that says, now may the God of peace sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has been faithful to call you to salvation, faithful to save you, faithful to sanctify you, and he's going to faithfully come back and get you. His son's coming back. He's going to return. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 19, it says, in the temple of God, which is in heaven, was opened. The ark of his covenant appeared in the temple, and there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder and an earthquake and a great hailstorm. He's coming back. He's coming back for his people, and then he's coming back to judge. He's faithfully, John chapter 14 tells us, preparing a place for us. And he says, don't worry, if I'm preparing a place for you, it's not in vain. I'm preparing a place for you because I'm coming back to get you. He's faithful. He's faithful to return. The Holy Spirit is faithful. He's faithful to indwell us and seal us, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. When we are converted, we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. He comes and takes up residence in us. We know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he seals us. He seals us until the day of redemption. He's that deposit. He's that promise. He's that earnest money, so to speak. You are sealed with the Spirit, so that when Christ returns, he will take all of those who are sealed to be home with him. You are the pledge. He is the pledge for you. The Holy Spirit is also faithful to intercede for us, Romans 8, 26 and 27. And we don't know what to pray. The Spirit prays on our behalf in our weakness. God is faithful to you, friend. He's a faithful God. And so let me just quickly go over then, what are some of the ways that the Spirit manifests faithfulness in our lives? So how does this then come out? Because that's what we're looking at in Galatians 5, is what is this fruit? How do we view this fruit? What are the manifestations of this fruit in our life, so that we can see if we are experiencing that and see at what level we're experiencing that fruit? We can judge ourselves on those things, but we can also trust that as a child of God, that his Holy Spirit is going to produce this in us. So what does it look like when it manifests itself, when it comes out in our lives? Well, first of all, it's in our faithfulness to God. The fruit of faithfulness that the Spirit produces in those who are children of God and believers will manifest itself, first of all, in faithfulness to God, in obedience and submission. Your lifestyle is going to be conformed to what God has called you to do. for how he has called you to live. You are going to follow the commands of Christ. You're going to obey the scriptures. You're going to submit. That means you're going to line yourself up under the authority of the Word of God, because that's the authority that we've been given in this life. And so if you, so the Spirit producing faithfulness in you is going to come out first and foremost in your faithfulness to God. We know that's not perfect. We're still corrupt in our flesh with sin, and we're still battling that sin and fighting that sin, but the trajectory of our life is a constant and a consistent faithfulness in obedience and submission to God. A second way that the Spirit manifests faithfulness in our lives is in faithfulness to the church. Is the church the priority of our life? To be a part of the church, to worship God corporately, to serve the body of Christ. Is that the priority of your life? And is that the commitment? Is that the number one commitment of your family, of your life, to the church? You see, when the Spirit is producing faithfulness in the heart of a Christian, it's going to manifest itself in faithfulness to God's people, in faithfulness to the corporate worship of God with God's people. It's going to manifest itself in faithfulness to serving God's people. That's what faithfulness looks like. Are you faithful in your commitment to the church? Is it the top priority of your life? It's easy to say that, but is it? Jesus loves His church. Jesus expects that His bride is going to follow Him as the head. And He has said that His church is what He is using in this age to accomplish His purposes. Are you fully engaged in that? Are you faithful to the church? Because that's a manifestation of the Spirit's work in your life, producing that fruit of faithfulness. A third way that the Spirit manifests faithfulness in our lives is through faithfulness to our spouse and to our family, and in you, and faithfulness to your parents and submitting, and what that looks like in this interesting time in your life as you're transitioning from child to adulthood in many respects. But for the Christian, they are going to be faithful to the people in their life that God has given them. They're going to be faithful to their family. They're going to be, those who are married are going to be faithful to their spouse. They're going to be faithful to their children. Believing children who the Spirit is producing the fruit of faithfulness and are going to be faithfully obedient to their parents. They're going to be faithful and loving and stirring up their brothers and sisters to love and good works. The fourth way that the Spirit manifests faithfulness in our lives is in faithfulness to our word. We're people of our word. When we say something, we mean it. Again, that's the antithesis of our society. You want to stick out like a sore thumb in the midst of this pagan culture? Be someone who's committed to their word, who's not going back on their word when they find something better. That comes out in our commitments. When you say you're going to do something, you say you're going to be somewhere, do it. Be there. That's a manifestation of the fruit of faithfulness in your life. That's produced by the Spirit. As you are able and have the ability to be that kind of a faithful person. Be faithful to other believers with your word. Be faithful to unbelievers with your word. There's no greater hypocrisy than a Christian who gives his word to a non-Christian and then doesn't fulfill it, doesn't come through. What kind of picture is that? Manifestation of faithfulness that the Spirit is producing in your life is in your commitment to your word. Fifth way that the Spirit manifests faithfulness in our lives is in faithfulness to our stewardship. Well, whatever God has called you in this life to oversee, you're faithful to that. You go to the parable of the steward there in the Gospels. You have one guy who's given 10, one guy who's given 5, one guy who's given 2, or one guy who's given 1. And the guy who gives 10, he goes out, makes a profit, and he doubles it. He's a good steward of what what his master has given him. The same with the guy who has been given five. And then you get the guy who has one, and he goes and buries it because he has a misconstrued and corrupt understanding of who his master is. He didn't have a proper fear of his master. He says he's fearful of him, but he didn't have the proper kind of fear because he didn't go out and steward what the master had given him to steward. Friends, whatever you have, whether you're in that 10 category or 5 category or 1 category, you are to be faithful to be a good steward of what God has given you. Some people are given an abundance to steward, and they're going to be held accountable for how they faithfully steward that. Others are given little. It's not about what you are given. It's not about the amount that you have to steward. It's about the fact that God has called you to be faithful in that stewardship. And when the Spirit is producing that fruit of faithfulness in your life as a Christian, you are going to be faithful to steward whatever He's given you, whether it's big or small. The sixth manifestation of the faithfulness in your life that's produced by the Spirit is in being faithfulness to our witness. We are faithful to our witness. You understand that there's a lost world out there. They're going to die without Christ. They're going to die without the power of the gospel transforming their life. And so, regardless of whether or not we feel like it, regardless of whether or not we feel equipped to do it, regardless of whether or not we are persecuted for it, we are faithful in our witness. We continue to hold fast, like a lot of those guys I mentioned early on in this message in the Old Testament and then Paul in the New Testament, guys who just continued on in the face of persecution and animosity to be faithful with their witness to God. You're going to be able to stand. You're going to be able to stand in the midst of the fire. And that's what you want. That's what I want. That's the Spirit producing faithfulness in you. That's the fruit of this fruit of faithfulness coming out in your life. Finally, wrap this up here. Find a way that the Spirit manifests faithfulness in our lives is in faithfulness to our work. Whatever that work looks like for you right now, whether that's work in your studies, whether that's your job and one day your career, whatever it is, God has given that to you again as a stewardship. And when the Spirit is producing this fruit of faithfulness in you, regardless of how you feel about that job on that particular day or that assignment, whatever it is, you're going to be faithful to accomplish the task at hand because this faithful God who is completely and totally faithful has indwelled you with His Spirit and therefore given you the ability to produce faithfulness in your life as the Spirit works that out because of the transforming power of the gospel to save you, to bring you out of a state of deadness into being alive. You are now dead to the things of the world and you are now alive to God. And so as the Spirit continues to conform you to the image of Jesus Christ, He is going to continue to produce this faithfulness in you. So look at your life. Examine your life. If you're not as faithful as you should be, repent. Ask God to continue to grow you in that faithfulness. If you see those elements of faithfulness and you're growing in those things, certainly not perfectly. We're not going to do it perfectly. But if you see that trajectory, praise God and ask Him to continue to make you more faithful. But ultimately, look to the example. Look to the One who is faithful to keep you, faithful to hold you, faithful to never let you go, faithful to bring you to completion, as Philippians 1:6 tells us. We are so thankful for that reality. God is faithful, and He has called us, His people, to be faithful, and He is producing that faithfulness by His Spirit. And we rejoice in that. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this fruit of faithfulness that the Spirit is producing in us. Thank You that we have the model of what that faithfulness looks like as we look at Your Word, and ultimately we look at You, Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the perfect faithfulness that is on display in Your character. God, help us to strive to be faithful, to know that the Spirit is empowering us to be faithful as we submit ourselves to You, as we walk in the Spirit and we don't gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Father, we don't want the fruits of verses 19 through 21 of Galatians 5 to be what we are characterized by, but God, rather we want the fruit of verses 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit, to characterize us. And we desperately want to be faithful people, so make that happen in our lives by the power of your Spirit. We give you glory for it. We love you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen.